You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
I just thank God for this moment where I can share something that has been on my heart. It's been growing on my heart for the last couple of weeks, and the band has been getting it over and over again. A divine interruption. My sermon topic for this morning, a divine interruption. How many times has God come into our lives and there's been a divine interruption? I'm going to start with Billy Graham, a famous evangelist. In one of his final interviews before he died, a journalist asks Billy Graham, "Mr. Graham, how would you like to be remembered?" He said, "I hope I will be remembered as someone who is faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and faithful to the calling of God that God gave me, not only as an evangelist, but as a husband, a father, and a friend." He said, "I'm sure I've failed in many ways, but I take comfort in Christ's promise of forgiveness. And I take comfort in God's ability to take even our most imperfect efforts and use them for His glory." By the time you read this, Billy Graham said, he said, "I will be in heaven." He says, "But I won't be in heaven because I've preached to crowds or because I've tried to live a good life." He says, "I'll be in heaven for one reason and one reason only. Many years ago, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died on a cross to make our forgiveness possible and rose again from the dead to give us eternal life." "Do you know if you'll go to heaven one day?" Billy Graham asked. He says, "You can by committing your life to Christ today." Amen. Just in that sermon, let's give the Lord a hand. That's more than enough to take something home this morning, church. You see, and then I started wondering and I started meditating on the cross. You know, every time we stand on platform, we look at the cross. And when we built this church, this temple, we said that that cross is going to be at the main entrances of the church, on this side, and later on it'll be on that side as well. Because when people walk into this place, they have to walk in under the cross. And when they walk out, they have to walk out under the cross. Because this church is only for Jesus Christ and the cross. Amen? So society often cheapens the cross. We put a little gold cross around our necks, and many people go put a tattoo on of a cross. We cheapen the power of the cross. But when Jesus encountered the cross, church, it was an instrument of death. It was an instrument of torture, bringing whoever was on it into total surrender. There was no going back. There was no getting off on the left or the right. When you were on the cross, you were on the cross, and you had to surrender to that cross. Just stay with me. I'm going to get to my point now. It does not debate with you. The cross of Jesus Christ does not debate, but it demands a total and a complete sacrifice. You see, in Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "If you truly want to follow me, if you truly want to be a disciple, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life." He says, "And you must be willing to share my cross and experiences and experience it as your own, as you continually surrender to my ways." Are you a Christian? Do you continually surrender to the cross? Do you wake up in the morning and pick up the cross? Or is the cross a little golden thing around your neck or a tattoo on your arm? You see, God is interested in your surrender. God is not interested in our strengths. Because sometimes when I get into God's presence, what I'm giving you this morning is what God is challenging me with. And I promise you, when I'm in God's presence, I can only be confronted by who He is and see how much I need to conform to that cross. Amen? You see, the cross, it's a matter of completely surrendering your will to God's will. When your will is surrendered to God, you become something extraordinary. Because when the will of God crosses the will of man, somebody has to die. Can I say that again? When the will of man crosses the will of God, somebody has to die. Today we clearly see how the sovereign will of God has interrupted our lives so many times. But we are going to specifically looking at Simon of Cyrene today. I love finding these hidden characters in the Bible. You know, you read past one little verse and then you go on. And then suddenly the Lord just highlights that person's name or that lady's name, that gentleman's name. And you start looking into who is Simon of Cyrene. Who knows who Simon of Cyrene? Amen. You see, Simon of Cyrene is referred to in the Gospels, only three of them. And it's in one verse. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He's not a disciple. He's not a follower of Jesus. He's actually a representation of you and I before we even meet Jesus. But we so often read past the small things because our word, the Bible, is so full of jewels. It's going to take a lifetime to search them out. Amen. How many times have you read the word over and over and over again and you read the same scripture and tomorrow that scripture looks very different to today? Amen. That's just the beauty of the word because the Bible reads us more than we read it. It's like a mirror looking into our souls. But you see, Simon of Cyrene actually came from North Africa and it's actually in a place today known as Libya. It's 1,287 kilometers from Jerusalem. So it is thought that this man, Simon of Cyrene, was an African man, but he was from a wealthy background because traveling in those days were very expensive. And that he could travel meant that he had some resources. And he didn't just travel on his own. He actually traveled with his two sons. You're going to love Simon. I'm telling you, it's a divine interruption. So many scholars believe that Simon was actually traveling to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And we know what Passover is, right? It's when the lamb was offered for the redemption of sin for the year ahead. So he traveled to Jerusalem to go and take part in the Passover. And while he was in Jerusalem, he probably hadn't even heard of a man named Jesus. Jesus was falsely accused and he was sentenced to be crucified. And the soldiers had ripped out his beard. By the time Simon of Cyrene met Jesus, Jesus had been beaten 39 times with a whip embedded with metal and bone. This whip also made you conform. Because with every beating, every single piece of you had to submit to that beating. It was said that at the end of a beating that your bones and some organs were sticking out. That skin, can you imagine being beaten 39 times with a whip, not with one piece, with different pieces on, with bone and metal. So by the time he meets Jesus, Jesus had been accused falsely. His beard had been ripped out. They placed a thorn crown of thorns on his head. Blood was running down his face. Jesus was in intense pain and he was at an intense loss of blood after 39 beatings on his back. You see, Jewish law actually said you cannot go past 40. Can you imagine how Jesus looked by the time Simon of Cyrene met him? So Jesus is now compelled to carry his cross along a path leading to Golgotha. And this is the place where he'd be crucified. And a crowd had gathered around and it was a narrow, dusty path. And there were Roman soldiers. They were carried on screaming at Jesus and hitting him and beating him as he was walking. I hope you're getting the picture this morning. They were humiliating him. They were taking everything that was anything of worth in this human world out on Jesus Christ. And here on the side of the road stands a man called Simon of Cyrene. And here's where I read Mark 15, verse 16 to 20. So the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him and they twisted together a crown of thorns and they set it on him. And they began to call out, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and they spat at him. And when they had mocked him and they took off this purple robe and they put on his own clothes and they led him to crucify him. The hands that once scattered stars across the universe, stars into the galaxy, now bear the weight of a wooden cross. That's our Jesus. Those very hands would be nailed to a cross with a spike forged by iron, the iron ore sourced in the depth of the planet that he created. That's our Jesus. So as the soldiers were going out, Jesus is weak. He's been beaten. He has a crown of thorn on his head. There's blood all over Jesus. He's stumbling. The cross is heavy. The soldiers look around and they find a man on the side of the road. His name is Simon of Cyrene. And they compel him to bear Jesus' cross. And this is where Simon comes in. He's a casual onlooker on the side of the road while Jesus is walking with his cross. There's one verse written about him in Matthew, one verse written about him in Mark, and one verse written about him in Luke. Simon of Cyrene. So they take Simon and they compel him. They say, they force him. They say, you're going to carry this cross of this man. He'd maybe only heard about Jesus because he came from Syria. He came from a far, far away place. And he's encountering Jesus for the first time. He had no intention of getting involved in the events of the day. He was just standing on a dusty road watching an accused criminal going to be crucified. We don't always control what we face, but we control our reaction to it. You see, when Simon of Cyrene was pulled forward, he did not back off and say, no, 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 leave me alone, find someone else. You see, as he was handed the cross, his eyes locked with Jesus. Can you imagine? His eyes locked with Jesus. A Jesus that had been beaten, a Jesus that had a crown of thorns on his head, a Jesus that had been carrying the cross for a while, his eyes locked with him. And for the first time, he encountered a love that he'd never seen before. You see, he was coming to Passover to sacrifice a lamb, to cover his sins for the year ahead. And yeah, he encountered the Lamb of God. Simon of Cyrene, a man with a divine interruption. Can you imagine what went through Simon's heart when Jesus read the mysteries of his soul? Because when Jesus looks into your eyes, church, he doesn't just look into your eyes, he looks into your soul. Amen? And I want to tell you this morning, if you take up the cross, if you say yes, Jesus, and you look into the eyes of Jesus, Jesus will read the mysteries of your soul. But the beautiful thing about a mystery and your soul and Jesus combined is because Jesus can solve a mystery. If you have a mystery in your heart, if you have mysteries going on there, how Jesus can solve that mystery. But you see, the cross chose Simon. He never chose the cross. His part was to surrender to the cross. You see, I can use so many people in the Bible. Daniel. Daniel never chose the lion's den. I don't think Daniel sat in his room one day and said, Jesus, can I please face a lion? Or two, or six, or 100, or how many there are? And I would like to lift your name up high in this situation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, my husband's favorite, I always say my husband's favorite boy kids. He loves Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They never chose a furnace. They never woke up the morning and said, Jesus, put me in a furnace for the salvation of this country and that I can stand for you. The cross chose Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The cross chose Daniel. Moses at 80 didn't stand up and say, God, I'm ready for the biggest congregation in history. Not just the biggest congregation, the most stubborn, rebellious congregation ever. The cross chose Moses. Moses never chose the cross. Moses had to obey. You see, with Jesus, it's always a give and take. Jesus has given us everything. It's for us to do what our part is. Amen. As one pastor actually said, he said, often the cross you didn't choose is the one that changes you the most. You see, often the cross we don't want has the grace we didn't know we need. Often the cross we don't want has the grace we don't need. Think of Esther into the palace. Esther never woke up one morning and said, I'm going to put on my makeup and my lashes and I'm going into the king. And guess what? God is going to save me. In that moment, she had to trust because she never knew. But the cross had chosen her to save Israel. I can go through 1,000 people in the Bible that the cross chose. And do you think Jesus stops choosing people because we live in 2025? What is your cross this morning? What do you have to pick up? What do you have to do for Jesus Christ? Because Jesus hasn't changed his mind about what he wants to do with you. You just have to obey. Amen? Are you ready for God to use your ordinary moments for his glory? Amen? Are you ready for a divine interruption? You see, life had placed Simon in the center of one of humanity's most powerful moments ever. He was just standing on the side of the road. He wasn't carrying a piece of wood. He started carrying a piece of destiny. What is your piece of wood you are carrying? What destiny are you carrying this morning? Simon picks up the cross. It's 45 kilograms. Simon, can you go get your cross, please? I've equipped a Simon for today. His name is A.K. Paul/Simon Sully. Just to demonstrate something this morning. So he picks up his cross. And he's actually surprised by the weight of the cross. It was actually not a physical cross like this. If you look at history, it was actually a crossbeam. Because the crossbeam is what they carried. They tied it to their shoulders, to the place of crucifixion, and there they attached it to the cross. But for demonstration purposes today, we have the cross, okay? And he feels this heaviness of the cross. This cross, the crossbeam was probably about 45 kilograms. And he feels the heaviness, he feels the roughness. It wasn't a smooth cross like this. It wasn't a polished cross. It wasn't a beautiful cross. It was a cross, remember, it was an instrument of torture that was made to get you to surrender to it. As he held the cross, he could have got splinters in his hands. As he held the cross, something on the inside of him must have began to change. Because as Simon carries this cross, what we often forget, remember, I started on purpose to tell you what Jesus had been through before Simon of Cyrene had met up with him. Jesus was covered in blood before Simon met him. What do you think the cross looked like Jesus was carrying? The cross was covered in blood. Simon got under the cross. He couldn't help but be marked by the blood of Jesus. The blood was rubbing off on Simon and staining his clothes. Simon had only seen the blood of Jesus. Now, under the cross, he felt the blood of Jesus. Can you imagine what Simon must have been smelling? He could have smelt the blood of Jesus. You see, church, we need to get under the cross. We need to get stained by the blood of Jesus and start smelling like the Jesus we serve. We need to start getting splinters in our hands for carrying the cross that sometimes becomes a little heavy for us, but by the grace of God becomes possible because God would not tempt us beyond what we can handle. You see, Simon had to get in under the cross. Can you imagine what was going through his mind in this moment? He didn't know how much he needed the cross. He didn't even know he needed the cross. But this was his moment of divine interruption. He didn't pick it. He didn't want it. But when he got under the cross, he got stained by the blood of Jesus. I want to ask you this morning, church, are you stained by the blood of Jesus? when you walk through streets, when you walk through your businesses, when you touch your family, are you stained by the blood of Jesus? Can we see the blood of Jesus on your clothes? Can we see the effects of the cross in your life? I pose this question to you like I pose this question to me. Are you stained by the blood of Jesus? You see, Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I've been put to death with Christ. Still I'm living, no longer I, but Christ living in me. You see, and that which I now am living in, the flesh, I'm living by faith. The faith of the Son of God, who in love for me gave himself up for me. Charles Spurgeon, my favorite, you know, you always have to have a Charles Spurgeon when I'm on platform. He says, pride cannot live beneath the cross. Is there something you need to repent of and get on your knees? Because the biggest way up in heaven is the way down. It's not the race to the top, church, it's the race down. The more humble we can get, the more sincere we can become, the more bloodstained we can become, the more splinters in our hands we can have by carrying the cross of Jesus Christ, the more pleased our Jesus will be with us. Because Jesus came as a servant. He never came as a king to be served. And he says, you think you are better than your master. He says, get down on your knees and serve. Serve people, love people. The cross demands humility. The cross demands surrender. And the cross demands an unusual love, only born from above. It's impossible to carry the cross without the help of the Holy Spirit. So we cannot carry this cross and hold on to other things. So Paul, I would just want you to walk up to here and walk back there. He's carrying his cross for Jesus. He's stained by the blood of Jesus. He's chosen Jesus. He's chosen the cross. You see, but he cannot carry the cross and hold on to other stuff. Because sometimes we want to carry the cross and hold on to pride. Neil, just keep handing him the stuff. Carry your cross, Paul. You see, some of us, we want to carry our cross and we want to hold on to our past. Some of us want to carry our cross and we want to hold on to self. God, I will tell you how to do it when I'm ready. Don't tell me what to do. I will give when I'm ready, not when you are ready. Okay. Some of us are carrying the cross with resentment in our hearts. God has told us over and over and over to forgive. But we say, God, we know better than you. We hold on to resentment. Carry your cross, Paul. Walk with your cross. Some of some of us, church, you know what else we carry? Anger. Jesus has chosen us from the side of the road to become a part of a divine destiny. He said, I'm giving you my cross. You're going to be bloodstained. You're going to smell like me. You're going to look like me. But you want to carry other stuff along with it. So you're walking with your cross. Some of us want to carry the cross and we want to gossip. It's Jesus plus. I just need to tell you this. Before we pray for sister so-and-so, you need to be informed what we need to pray about. This is very important. Sister so-and-so, you know, she has a problem. She drinks every night. And you can't believe it. The other day I heard her sister next door tell me she actually kicked the cat as well. We need to really pray for sister so-and-so. You see, the cross is not enough for us. And Jesus is saying, you can carry my cross, but you need to get rid of all these other things. What are you carrying with your cross this morning? If it's anger, throw it off. If it's gossip, throw it off. If it's your past, throw it off. If it's resentment, throw it off. If it's bitterness, throw it off. And carry your cross for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Carry your cross, Paul, like a proud man. Amen. Carry your cross, Paul, like a proud man. Church, I hope this sticks in your mind, Because I'm telling you, Luke 9 verse 23 says, whoever wants to be my disciple, do you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ this morning? It says you must deny yourself, deny anger, deny gossip, deny your past, deny resentment, and pick up your cross daily and follow him. Daily, daily, daily. Daily means every single morning when that sun comes up, you pick up your cross and you get stained with the blood of Jesus for that day. Amen? And whoever wants to bring bitterness, resentment, anger, all these things against you, what does it compare to the cross? You see, what we don't remember is Simon's whole family was changed because of this. And this is where my husband's scripture comes in this morning. You see, the Mark adds a little something that Matthew and Luke don't add. Mark says there, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way to the country and he was forced to carry a cross. You see, Simon of Cyrene had two sons with him and they watched their daddy carry the cross. As parents, we demonstrate how to carry the cross of Jesus to our children. Amen? Parents, if you compromise, your children will compromise. If you love the church, your children will be in church. If you love Jesus, your children will love Jesus. And if they go off the path, that's not what the word says. The word says that if they're raised up in the house of God, they're going to land up in the house of God. You know what? If our children aren't serving God and we have raised them in the church, it's not over. Because God promises it's not over. And if God promises it, that's not the truth. Then we keep on praying for them because it's like a fish hook in their mouth and they will come back. You see, Romans 16, Paul writes to the church and he says, greetings, Rufus, chosen of the Lord. Could it be that the Rufus in Romans 16 is maybe the Rufus mentioned in Mark 16? He looked at his daddy carrying the cross. He looked at how his daddy submitted to the cross. He saw how Jesus read the mysteries of his daddy's soul and it inspired them to serve this God that their daddy had chosen. Amen. Thank you, Paul. I'm coming in for a landing. Simon's name means he who hears. Simon's name means he who hears. Simon heard as the Roman soldiers insulted and shouted at Jesus. He heard when the crowd was making fun of Jesus. Simon's name means he who hears. He heard the anguished cries of women and children who had maybe loved Jesus in the crowd as they witnessed this person that they'd loved and served being crucified in front of them. As he followed Jesus with a cross, he heard Jesus' painful groans with every step he took. And he heard his footsteps in a very, very warm street, a dusty street. He maybe heard the stumbling of Jesus in front of him. Could he maybe have heard Mary crying in the crowd? Mary, the mother of Jesus. Remember, Simon's name means he who hears. Could it be that he maybe heard people crying out in the crowd? Maybe he was there. I wonder if he was there at the end when they put the nails through Jesus' hands because he had to take the cross to the crucifixion and that's when he handed the cross over. Could he maybe have heard Jesus' cries while they were nailing his hands to the cross? Maybe, do you think he heard Jesus' final words on the cross? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. But you see, we often look at the outside. We think of Simon's physical ears, what he's hearing here. But Simon had a hearing heart. Do you have a hearing heart this morning? When he looked in the eyes of Jesus, could he have heard, come follow me? Could he possibly have heard the voice of Jesus saying, are you willing to pick up the cross and follow me? You see, Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus had said to his disciples that whoever wants to be my disciple, there's only one way. You want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? You deny yourself. That means I don't come first, right? You pick up your cross and you follow him. You deny yourself. You pick up your cross and you follow him. All three of those are decisions you have to make. You deny yourself. You pick up your cross. You follow him. This morning I want to ask you, what is Jesus saying to you? Like Simon, are you prepared to only witness the crucifixion but not become a part of it? You see, wearing a cross doesn't make you a disciple. Carrying the cross does. Are you stained with the blood of Jesus? When people are in contact with you, can they smell the blood of Jesus on you? You see, Simon thought he was carrying the cross of Jesus. But later he realized he was actually carrying his own cross, because Jesus had to die on that cross for him. We love to be around Jesus when he opens eyes. We love to be around Jesus when he multiplies fish. We love to be around Jesus when he calls out the dead. He says, Lazarus, come forth. But there are moments when we all have to meet Jesus at the cross. Amen? Will you be like Simon, who bravely steps up? Or will you be like one of the bystanders that were actually quite relieved that they weren't chosen? Will you allow the blood of Jesus to stain you? Every part of you. My prayer this morning is, God, stain every part of me with your blood. Every part of me with your blood. It completely transformed Simon. His family became disciples. We even see in Acts where it says that the Cyrene, the people from Cyrene, were part of the outreach. You can go look at it. I've got too little time to tell you everything I need to tell you. So may your heart's cry be this morning, not my will, not my way. How can I serve you today, Jesus? Can that be our heart's cry this morning? Not my way, not my will. How can I serve you today, Jesus?
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.